Good afternoon. Welcome to Embracing the Chase, brought to you by InfinitelyHome.com, the website for first-time home buyers and affordable home buyers, Building Fortunes Radio, and Blog Talk Radio also sponsor our program. Embracing the Chase is a radio show presenting a unique personal improvement thought which will make your life better and your business grow. How y'all doing today? Terrific. Glad to see you're having a good time. We're going to talk today about probably one of the most important facets of any relationship. We're going to talk about trying to have responsibility without authority and why it doesn't work. The easiest analogy that I can think of is that you and your partner have decided to go out to dinner and you need a babysitter. So you have the babysitter come in and your child is 8 years old and can't be left alone but is competent enough to understand the basics of communication. And so when you get ready to leave, you say to her, "Now, little Sally or little Jimmy, Patty here, your babysitter, is responsible for what you do and making sure that you're safe. However, if she says something to you that you question or maybe you don't think she knows the right answer, here's where we'll be. You can give us a call." Now, how do you think that's going to work out for the babysitter when the babysitter tells your child it's time for bed? Or tells your child she can't have anything to eat? And how many calls are you going to get that you don't want to take that's interfering with your evening out? Let's get real. You can't have responsibility without authority. And the reason I bring this up is that a little while ago I was having lunch with a friend of mine, and this friend manages an ongoing project. I asked him the progress of his project and how things were going, and he got real cynical and disdained look on his face, and he replied, "Well, everyone's working as hard as possible to get things done, but the delays caused by the project are, well, caused by the management of ineffectiveness." When I pressed on as if there was anything that can be done to rectify the situation, he replied in exact quotes, "Well, the problem here is we have responsibility without authority," which really became the inspiration for what we're going to talk about today. And I thought he captured the essence of the problem in such an exact manner. So I decided to do some research before I came and talked to you about it. Because frankly, when you work for yourself, you have all the authority and all the responsibility, and so you don't run up against that problem. We encounter things like, for example, getting down payment assistance. We don't control that, but we do have the guidelines that make it impossible for them to refuse us if we do everything correctly. So, you know, it's easy to handle that, but I've been a long time since I encountered it where I didn't have the authority to take the responsibility. So basically, what I found was that there is what is known as the no authority gauntlet syndrome. And how you achieve the NAG syndrome is very simple. Yeah, first of all, you delegate someone a management job, but one without necessary management authority. In other words, you make this person accountable for the work but with no accompanying clout. So you got to tell somebody they have to dig a ditch, and you give them the shovel, but at the end of the day, if the guy decides he doesn't want to dig the ditch, there's nothing you can do about it. So frankly speaking, yeah, you're going to get docked your pay if he doesn't finish. That doesn't work. There will also be other employees reporting to this person, but they either have other managers as well with authority, or recognize that there is someone else making the final decision. These employees may sincerely make commitments. However, when it's time for prioritizing work, the work that has authority from either the real managers or the decision makers will be first in line. Lacking in authority, the person which was given the accountable job to begin with will resort to the only authority the person has. Nagging or being a pain in the ass just to get things done, and at the end of the day, this person is still accountable. So as you can see, this is a very ineffective delegation of working conditions to make everyone's life a living hell. At the beginning, the objectives may rally everyone together. But as soon as the enthusiasm dies down, it's close to impossible to get things done. At its worst form, it may even cause failure of the company. So, how do we recognize some of these things, and how can we make it so that it doesn't happen to us? So let's talk a little bit about things called snail pace decision making. And I'll use an example that I have called the printing cost experience. And I can relate to this very well, and I'll share my personal experience on the matter, which I will dub the printing cost experience. When we first started doing things in 2009 during our first limited marketing campaign, I delegated to our sales and marketing manager to get everything necessary for our first participation in an industry event. And at this point in time, unfortunately, I assumed that she and I was provided with all the necessary authority to carry out the work. I remember vividly a simple matter of printing costs for a poster was escalated to me by the regional marketing manager. We were utilizing the resources of the shared marketing department at that time, in which I was supposed to seek approval from higher management above myself. Now, this really confused me. I thought perhaps the printing costs must be exorbitantly high, so I asked her how much the printing costs were, in which she replied $200 or so. So I kind of looked at her with a blank stare when she told me that, noticing that I was kind of in shock and that such an amount had to go through my sales and marketing manager, herself, me, and then up to higher management. She quickly continued, "It's not about being expensive. It's more that every cost and expense needs to go through management approval." Well, to speed things up, I asked her to just go ahead with the printing and assured her that I will be personally responsible for anything that could go wrong. What could possibly go wrong with a $200 printing cost besides not getting the posters on time, and that I would get the necessary approvals in the meantime? This simple experience of mine shows how detrimental it can be to decision-making process or the agility of the organization to respond. However, the worst thing would be that the second experience, which I'm about to relate to, which affects employee morale. As the head of the team, you would assume you would have some control over cost and expenditures. Otherwise, why would they be put in charge of the revenues and the profitability? But at the end of this time, not such always is the case. I am by nature and conditioned by past working experience someone who values employee morale and spirit, and would do anything I can to assure it stays at high or peak levels. But last year, when our new team was established to refocus our business from Oracle CRM to NetSuite ERP, we took in just 6 short months starting from scratch. Most team members had no prior ERP time to a full experienced team handling major multi-country ERP projects, and we landed our first major NetSuite customer account. It was an important milestone for the team within such a short time, and I wanted to give everybody due recognition for their hard work and endless hours that they put into it. I planned to arrange a nice dinner, because they truly deserved it, so they could take some time off from work and really enjoy each other's company. I placed in the necessary approvals and whatnot, and of course was advised by management that it won't be possible and will not be approved. To be fair, my country manager did offer an alternative, but I thought it was going to be delayed for too long, and a break was much needed urgently, as I could sense the low morale going on. Once again, no relevant authority to approve expenses. So in the end, I just footed the bill myself. And the team assumed that it was going to be under some entertainment expense for me to be claimed from the company. It was indeed a good night with good food, good drinks, and excellent company, and every cent was worth it. What I'm trying to say here is that I had not just bit the bullet to foot the bill and arrange this. I stemmed the tide as far as low morale and spirit from the team from overtime and increased workload, which might have just continued on a downward spiral. But on the other side of the coin, think about the manager who wants to reward and provide recognition to his team for doing a good job but can't. It will just make the manager feel powerless and frustrated, contributing to low morale on the manager's part. Now, this would definitely be an exception, as I do it because I own part of the country. I'm very sure it was just his usual employee in an organization. No one would want to do this. Unfortunately, this area still leaves lots of room for improvement for myself and the company. Next, I want to talk about something which has an effect on the decision-making process. When someone is not empowered with authority, not only does it frustrate the people who are trying to get the job done, but it also drowns and overburdens the person who is stuck with all the decision-making. Now, for control freaks, it's just heaven to be in a situation like that, but for people getting actual work done, it fools them into thinking the administrative tasks are more important. This is especially bad if you are the owner of a company, as one is supposed to be focusing on the important items like figuring out the relevant processes to be put in place, sales and marketing strategies, and so on. The real-life example will definitely show that, unfortunately, that is not what happens. What we have to do is that we have to take each one of these projects on a different level. You know, in one of our software project implementations, we had to configure close to 100 workflows which handles approvals. And the problem is when you are doing a multi-country rollout, this is multiplied by the number of countries in which the system will be implemented. In typical scenarios, you would have a person in charge of the country making the key decisions for the country that he or she is in charge of, unless a certain threshold has been met. Let's say above 500,000. But in this case, all, and I mean every single approval, went back to the owner of the company. So when you look at the owner's dashboards, it's full of approval tasks to be completed, which is just ridiculous. Shouldn't a system dashboard only show you what is important or bring your attention to items which are an anomaly? And while this person approves everything, the bottleneck just stays at the owner. Now we come to a situation where the owner is dragged down with hundreds of approvals to make while people who are supposed to be carrying out their tasks just wait their turn. And of course, the number of workflows to be configured by our team could have been significantly increased as well. Granted, it may be necessary for processes and controls to be in place for effective management. But in the end of the day, if you have given responsibility or accountability to the person, make sure that it comes with the necessary authority to get the job done. But what we do or can do to ensure that we still have the control of what is about to happen at the end, my advice is to set some reasonable limits for the team and give room for experimentation. If you're worried about granting too much authority, then start off small and agree on specific milestones to be achieved and measured before more authority can be granted. For startups or smaller companies, which may not have the benefit of a larger staff and perhaps having an owner who prefers a more hands-on approach, you have got to think about effective delegation. Though it may be risky to do so, but if you did not trust your team in the first place, then why'd you hire them? The potential upside to trusting someone is providing them with the reasonable authority necessary to carry their work. Based on my information alone, improvement in job satisfaction, employee morale, project success rate, and faster decision-making process provides me with certainty that there are definitely more benefits as opposed to potential risks. So go ahead now. Delegate responsibilities with authority. Make it work. Let me give you an example right now, day and age, current time. We build houses. Our houses are done by basically two different teams. One team builds the house in the factory, and the other team takes care of the site work to make sure that when the house comes to be set on site, everything is ready for it. Now, there's not much I can do about the factory-built home. That's governed by another company altogether, and I've essentially assigned them to provide me a code-built house. If they don't do that, then I don't pay for it. But the people on the ground that are working directly for me, I have to trust that they're going to do their job correctly. I have to trust that they're going to be in a position where they know what they're doing, else I should not have hired them. I should have enough experience to recognize the good, the bad, and the ugly in this industry. So I don't want to know every screw, every nut, every bolt. We've come to an arrangement. You do the work. This is what you get paid. This is how much you make. That's how it works with us. So I don't have to worry. It's their job to conserve the cost so they can make more money. If they spend money because they screwed up a job, that's going to come out of their share of the profits. That's the way it works. So, you tell me which is better, for me to have to do it all or to have someone I trust to do it. That's why it works the way it does. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in 45 seconds to round this up.
Do you want to learn more about affordable home ownership and what Ed Robinson with the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition nonprofit has going on in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area? Well, go to infinitelyhomes.com and read all about it. Don't forget to go to the events page for upcoming seminars in the area, and the newsletter can be found on the Home Sweet Home page. See you on the website, which once again is www.infinitelyhome.com.
Okay, we're back. So anyway, this works, and I'm going to bring this back down to a more commonplace area, one where you have to understand how it relates to your particular situation, your relationships with your own people, your spouse, your partner, your friends. How does it work so that you keep this on a level where everything functions accordingly? Does that make sense to you? I hope so. Because what I want to talk to you about today are the solutions to the problem. How do you handle this so that it comes up with something that makes some sense and gives you the chance to do what is necessary to create a relationship that works for everybody. Now, oftentimes, I go out with friends, generally to play golf or just to have dinner. And so I look for reasons to do something. And the first thing I thought about, if I were to encounter this in a relationship with my friends, and we couldn't decide who was supposed to pay for a birthday cake for one of my friends, and nobody would take the responsibility to do it, so I took the responsibility and I assumed the authority and I just did it. I explained later. There's an old adage that says, I would rather beg forgiveness than ask permission. That's kind of the way I look at it. You know, if you see something that needs to be done, and you don't see the necessity to get approvals because the cost factor is not prohibitive, then do it. Just do it. And explain it later. They may be pissed, but they'll be happy that you did. Next thing you do is you take some small initiatives and show results. This is a more diplomatic way to pursue it than what I just referred to. You know, and it is a way to pursue the ultimate goal of having full authority instead of requesting full authority right away. Discuss it with management to take small steps toward it. It could be something as simple as allowing you to approve expenses below a certain limit or allowing you to make independent decisions within a sub-process. Do this with defined results. And the next logical steps are that this will provide comfort to management and that there would be a potential result and no harm in trying out something new. This can be particularly effective if you are confident about the end results. For example, when I first started doing Google Ads, I knew it would definitely increase our business as long as I got the keywords and content right, so I made sure that I provided a detailed report on the ROI and expenses to be incurred for a monthly spend of $500. I told the management that we could try it out, and if we did get results, we should double the marketing expense. At first, I had to go on a month-to-month approval basis to get the expenses paid, but when the results were positive, it was then placed on our yearly budget with more than 2 times the initial spend, and I no longer had to ask for approvals after that. You know, you got to prove yourself sometimes. Now then, there's another way to do this. Sometimes management may not be the brightest bulb in the chandelier, nor the most understanding, and they really need a wake-up call. They may be too busy with everything else that is going on. So if you've done all you can and have provided alternatives to no avail, then provide them with an ultimatum at the end of the day. Remember that it's the results we want to focus on here, not the consequences, because this is because the results are ones that matter to management. So if you tell them if things remain as they were, the profits will go down, that always catches their attention. Or customer satisfaction decreases, I can guarantee that you will be given your due attention. Just make sure that these results are explained with measurable matrix. As usual, I don't think that's a good idea. But I'm not the person who's patient enough to wait for management to make a decision. It's probably why I've never worked for anybody in my whole life. I tried it once, and it lasted about 3 months. I just did not see the value in sitting around waiting for someone of supposedly better skill set to do something so I could do my job. Didn't work for me that way. And it was a small company. I can't imagine what it would have been if I'd have worked for a big company. Probably would have lasted one day. I just don't work well with others when it comes to that kind of thing. I need to get the job done, and so I'm going to get it done by hook or crook. If I don't have the money, I find a way to do something equivalent until I have the money to do it. That's kind of how it works for me. So anyway, at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about working within the confines of the corporate structure, but bending the corporate structure so it works for you. And I'm going to tell you something. This can work in your personal life as well. There are many times when you're discussing certain things and you can't agree on a solution. And so maybe you just take the initiative and do it. As an afterthought, you say, I decided to go ahead and do this. We'll see what the results are. And if it works, maybe we'll take a look at doing it again next year. That's kind of how I would do it. My wife has a way of manipulating me in the same way, you know, to get the things, her things, the way she wants them done. And that's okay, too. Because you have to live in a world that you can live in. It can't be a world where you're doing something all the time that delays your impetus and doesn't allow you to do things. My wife decided to do a small job that she does independently at home. She just let me know she was going to do it. It wasn't something that we discussed. It was something that she wanted to do. And so we did it. And she does it. And I don't have anything to do with it. And it takes 2 hours a day for her to do this. And it really doesn't bother me that much. I thought it would be, but it didn't. And so it gave me a learning experience to let me know that, for want of a better term, there is a way where you just, you know, beg forgiveness instead of ask permission. Now, if it doesn't work, or she doesn't get paid, then we might discuss whether or not she's going to stay with it or not. But at the end of the day, it's still her decision. It's her time. She doesn't work for me. We're in this together. It's a partnership. So, you tell me what you want to do. You know, write me an email. ed@infinitelyhome.com, and let me know what you think about all this. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from the people who are listening to a broadcast. So if you're listening to a broadcast and you heard this one and you want to write to us, let me know. I look forward to talking with you tomorrow. You have a good day. This is Ed Robinson signing off.